Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. So how are you today? Full of the joys of life, or a bit down in the dumps? Ready to take on the world, or feeling a bit fragile? On top of the world, or a bit snowed under? Feeling really good, or feeling quite fragile? We all get spells of life on either side of the fence. But in this programme, let's concentrate more on our feelings of vulnerability. Well, the chirpy cheery chappies can look after themselves for one time anyway. Maybe this wee holy half hour can do something to lift the spirits of every one of us, and especially those of us who are feeling particularly vulnerable right now. Here are one or two people who fit that description. It may be for different reasons, but what they all share in common is the feeling of vulnerability. Go on then, sing along if you can sing off the same song sheet as Lindsay DePaul.
Now the band is playing very slow. Once again I'll get my coat and go. A lonely wallflower waiting by the wall.
Here's Katie Melua. She knows a man who's a bit shy and vulnerable too.
I'm sitting in the window of a street cafe, watching you walking by each day. It seems that you always want to look my way. Say hi to me. You can make it happen so easily. Whoa, I'll tell you why, boy. 'Cause I'm looking for a shy boy. Most guys advertise by making eyes and telling lies. If this was a quiz on a TV show, and the prize was a guy who would love me so, whatever they ask, the answer I know.
Here's Celine Dion feeling vulnerable and asking advice from her friend Barbara Streisand.
I'm scared, so afraid to show I care. Will he think me weak if I tremble when I speak?
Alison Moye is also feeling a bit fragile and vulnerable. Times in all our lives when we feel vulnerable, like fragile flowers or shugly pegs, thin reeds and fast-flowing streams, wispy clouds whisked across the sky by high winds, or ice cubes melting in the noonday summer sun. Sometimes, of course, it's our own mistakes and wrong choices which leave us vulnerable, as in the case here of Neil Sedaka.
There was a man a lonely man. his love through his indifference. A heart that cared, that way. Until it died within his silence, and solitude is the only game in town, and every road that takes him down, while life goes on around him everywhere. He's playing solitaire and keeping to himself begins to deal, and still the king of hearts is well concealed. Another losing game comes to an end, and he deals them out again.
However, it is not always our own fault. Let's not overblame ourselves. Usually it is other people who land us in pickles, holes, jams, or whatever slang word you prefer to describe a vulnerable position. Sometimes life circumstances conspire to leave us high and dry, or hung out to dry, or exposed to various pressures and cross currents, till we feel tied to the seabed with the tide coming in quickly. Often this is through no fault of our own, just bad luck, or other people's faults, or the way the system operates. So sometimes we feel vulnerable from external circumstances, and sometimes we feel vulnerable from internal circumstances. Sometimes we have mental ill health or personality disorders or been hurt in the past, leaving us scarred for life, so that even when the sun is shining and all is well with the world, we can still feel it is raining in our heart. Sometimes the periods of gloom and despair and feeling vulnerable come in regular or irregular cycles. Sometimes it's fairly permanent, or it can be on a very rare occasion. Some people's vulnerability is unusual, while for others it is normal life, as Don McLean sings here about Vincent van Gogh, the famous painter.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and grey. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils, catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they
could not love you. You might think that nobody would ever choose to feel vulnerable. Surprisingly, it's amazing how often and how much people go out of their way to choose to put themselves in vulnerable positions and choose to be vulnerable. Think about the police, fire crews, paramedics, lifeboat crews, all going in the wrong direction, going into crime scenes, burning buildings, infectious diseases and stormy seas. Think about all the armed services, young people going into battle, risking being killed. Or airline pilots, and indeed their passengers, choosing to sit vulnerably 30,000 feet up in the sky. Mountaineers choose to dangle in sheer rock faces for fun as a hobby. People abseil, bungee jump, skydive, fly gliders with no engines, do all kinds of things like that because they enjoy the thrill of vulnerability. Pastoral care is about putting oneself into the shoes of another person until our feet hurt. In other ways, people freely choose to make themselves vulnerable. For instance, anyone in public office knows they are setting themselves up like a coconut in a coconut shy for criticism. Yet they still run for public office. Who wants to be president anyway? Knowledge makes us vulnerable. You might suppose that knowledge is power and strength, but in truth, the more you know, the more you know you don't know, the more you realise how much there is to learn. Power makes us vulnerable. When we're in a strong, powerful position, we suddenly realise that we could seriously hurt other folk. That's why the 25-stone world's strongest man has to be very sensitive when dealing with his nagging little gran. World leaders feel overwhelmed by the world's problems, not only because they feel impotent to make a difference, but also because they know that if they do go to war, for example in Syria, they can dig an even bigger hole and be the cause of even more deaths. Love makes us vulnerable, and grief comes when we love someone. Anytime we care about anyone or anything, we're open to being hurt. But it's a real tragedy when we're so afraid of the hurt that we refuse to love. It is perfectly understandable, but it's still a great tragedy and a waste of our one precious life when we let the pain prevent the gain. And discipleship of Jesus hurts too. It's not easy to follow Jesus, who got crucified, and who tells us to take up our cross and follow him, by loving enemies, praying for persecutors, forgiving infinitely, going the extra mile, and so on. Let's sum up all of the things we've been discussing in a sketch which I've recently written. Indeed, it was immediately after writing this sketch that I had the inspiration for this Holy Half Hour programme, and also for a Sunday sermon, I might add. The sketch is entitled The Christmas Reunion in Heaven, and it's a meditation on vulnerability. Just imagine a shepherd, a wise man, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus in heaven having a kind of a reunion and talking about the first Christmas. I'm very grateful to three people for coming into the studio live right now to help me perform this sketch. So thanks very much to Roger Patterson, Ellie Luscombe, and the Reverend Gary Music, all from Adelaide College.
Hi, how are you? It's nice to meet you again.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Though I must say, I'm still a bit overawed by all that happened to us in Bethlehem.
Me too.
Yes, but I'm just a humble shepherd. You, on the other hand, are a wise man.
Maybe so, but we were both blown away, weren't we? I don't think it made any difference whether we were experts or not. Let's face it, neither you nor I had any previous experience to prepare us for what hit us that night.
You can say that again. But surely your education prepared you in some way? Me and my mates, we never had no education. The only thing that we are clever at is counting sheep at night without falling asleep.
Don't underestimate yourselves. Shepherds are tough guys and brave heroes. I, for one, Wouldn't like to be out on steep hillsides alone, in the dark, facing wild animals, in all kinds of weathers, and having to deal with whatever crisis the sheep manage to get into.
Some of us shepherds, myself included, are not quite so brave as you imagine. We don't all manage to live up to the image of the Good Shepherd.
Well, there is only one true Good Shepherd, and we both know who he is.
Exactly.
But you were a wise shepherd, not just a humble one. Because you, unlike some of your more foolish colleagues, took the angel's advice, downed tools, and went off to the stable pronto.
Mind you, I had my doubts. It did seem a bit far-fetched, did it not? We had to pinch ourselves and check with each other. I kept asking my pals, did you see what I saw and hear what I heard? Angels singing about the saviour of the world. We all had our doubts, but we chivvied each other along.
The important thing is that you went. Well done, you.
Thanks. But don't you think that we were drawn in like moths to the light, rather than any profound searching on our part?
Yes, indeed. I would vouch for that.
No, I didn't mean you and your fellow wise men. I just meant we shepherds. You guys were different from us. You had the wisdom to know what you were doing, and indeed the raw courage to pursue the quest right to the very end.
Actually, we supposedly wise men don't quite see it that way. We feel like you, that we were guided and led to the stable. Jesus was coming to us more than any of us were coming to him. He supplied the star. He had organized the prophets. He helped us when we got lost. He drew us, sucked us in, wooed and won us, just like he brought in you and the other shepherds.
Now you are perhaps underestimating yourselves. You persevered. It could not have been an easy journey to make.
No, it certainly was not. A cold coming we had of it. Just the worst time of the year for such a journey, and such a long journey. As T.S. Eliot has us say in his famous poem, The Journey of the Magi. But it was well worth it.
Oh yes, we can all agree with that.
We all had our doubts. We kept wondering, is it a wild goose chase? Are we crazy? But thank God, in spite of our doubts and follies, we got there in the end.
Hi guys, it's nice to see you all again. What are you all talking about?
We were just saying about how we had our doubts before we got to the stable in Bethlehem, but each of us is very glad we did get there.
Joseph and I had our doubts too, you know. And I don't just mean about whether we would ever arrive in Bethlehem. It was an endless journey, sheer murder, so it was. But we also had our doubts and questions about the whole birth business itself. Neither Joseph nor myself had a clue about what we were doing. Neither of us had ever had a child before. Neither of us had ever seen an angel before. We could hardly take in what the angel Gabriel said to us. I mean, why me?
Well, you are a saint, Mary.
Well, I may be considered that nowadays by some people. Back then, I was just plain Mary, Joe the carpenter's fiancée. Nobody in Nazareth, not even my mother, considered me a saint. And by the way, my school reports didn't either.
But at least God himself saw you as a saint and picked you.
God didn't pick me because I'm so good and so special. Rather, I am special now, afterwards, because God picked me. Remember, I didn't volunteer. I'd had no previous experience of any kind of childbirth, far less a virgin birth by the Holy Spirit. The way I see it, God likes to pick unlikely characters to do his work. Moses murdered an Egyptian, and Saul persecuted Christians, and so on. Mm. I see myself in that long line of unlikely instruments of God's will. All I had to do was not say no, and God himself did the rest.
Don't undersell yourself, Mary. Saying yes to God is never easy, and having done so, you saw it through for the next 33 years.
You saw it through to the death.
And the resurrection, don't forget. That is Jesus' resurrection, and our own resurrection.
Hi, folks. I couldn't help overhearing you talking about me. What were you saying about me?
We were just praising Mary for standing by you all your earthly life, right from birth to death.
And I was saying it wasn't as simple as that. I had massive doubts and questions and fears throughout.
Yes, Mary, we had our ups and downs. But you did hang in there, and you did come a long way on the roller coaster spiritual journey of your amazing life.
It is you, Lord, who had the amazing life.
But I needed you, Mum, to give me life.
No, Lord, you are the way, the truth and the life. You are the resurrection and the life.
Yes, but you underestimate yourself. You gave birth to me. You gave me life. You are Theotokos, the God-bearer to the world.
But I still say that I am ashamed of all the times I doubted your calling, your messiahship, your divinity. I wish I had known then what I know now with hindsight. You, on the other hand, had no doubts.
You overestimate me, Mum. I was a weak and vulnerable baby, wetting my nappies, knowing nothing about nothing. I was a naive, innocent wee laddie. I was a troubled soul, tempted and tried in the wilderness. I was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before my crucifixion. I had my vulnerabilities from start to finish, for I was living a fully human life, an ordinary, typical, limited human life. I was not omniscience on two legs. I was not the fount of all wisdom sitting my school tests.
Lord, it is hard to think of you as vulnerable, human, like ourselves, for you are God.
Yes, but you're God choosing to become human, including wetting his nappies in Bethlehem. And your same God has nail-pierced hands forever in heaven, as you can see.
I don't really understand.
Well, I love you all. And love is about sharing vulnerability. When two people love each other, they drop the pretenses, the masks, the putting on a face to meet the faces that you meet, to quote T.S. Eliot, and they let each other see the face behind the mask, warts and all. It's a scientific law of life that we have to show our own vulnerability if we're ever to encourage the other person to reveal to us their vulnerability. As we expose ourselves to each other, and let each other see inside us, with all our doubts and fears and weaknesses, so we grow closer together and more trusting, and more accepting and more loving of each other. Vulnerability is intimacy. There's no real intimacy without vulnerability. Real intimacy is strength through shared weakness. Real intimacy is unity through revealing personal brokenness. Real intimacy is acceptance through risking rejection. And real intimacy is love received and love given. So I let Mary feed me and wash me and cuddle me so that I could mother her forever. I let you shepherds find me so that I could carry you lost sheep home to heaven rejoicing. And I let you wise men seek and find me so that I could guide you to paradise to live with me forever. I became a weak, helpless, vulnerable baby so that I could woo and win you all and get you to receive my love and return my love and learn to share my love.
Well, my thanks to Roger Patterson, Ellie Luscombe and the Reverend Gary Musig for helping with that sketch. And thank you to you for listening. And it's bye for now. I leave you with Tessera singing Mary, Did You Know?
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save us sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Oh, Mary, did you know?
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 did you know
that your baby boy will one day rule the nation?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land? This sleeping child you're holding is the great